that I would preach this morning. And he said, you said you needed the message. And I told Timmy, oh, do I ever. And he said, he's preaching on the mind next week. Timmy said, I need that. I said, I'm not sure which one I need more. I think I need them both. But back in April, I started a series. It's been a while, huh? I started a series about love. You might remember, or not, as the case may be. Funny thing about that, apparently when I started actually working on this message, on the top of my notebook page, I wrote, not all four-letter words are bad. But apparently somewhere between when I wrote that and when I actually did the first message, I decided to call it something else. And I ended up calling it, and the greatest of these is love. Okay? Well, poor Therese, she calls me this week, and she goes, Bert, what's your title? And I said, oh, it's Not All Four-Letter Words Are Bad, Part 2. Well, a little while later, Therese calls me and goes, Bert, I hate to bother you, but I've already gone back 3 years, and I can't find that title anywhere. And I said, no, Therese, not 3 years. I said, it was sometime this spring. I said, in fact, I remember because Leanne said something about it when she preached on Mother's Day, and that's in May, so it was close to that. So she says, well, I've got three here. I said, read them to me. And she read the titles, and she got to, and the greatest of these. And I said, when was that? I think she said April 10th or something. I said, that's it. Part two. Sorry, Therese. Yeah, I know. I knew you didn't care. But, you know, we could probably teach on love every day. Seriously. Every day. And it's funny, in this world today, unless you're living in a hole somewhere and haven't looked around, there's not a whole lot of love out there going around. There are those who do wonderful things for other people and show love and things like that. But it seems like they're just so overshadowed by all of the anger and hatred and strife and everything else that's out there. You know, and we all need to hear about it. We need to. You know, you're not going to be embarrassed if I do this, folks. How many of you in here are over the age of 60? Raise your hands. Okay, I can put my hand up. Yeah, you, put your hand up. Jump up and down, both hands. Okay. You know, there's a lot of things that happen to you after you pass the age of 60. Those of you who raised your hands all agree with me, don't you? They're not all good. Okay? They are not all good. But one of the things I noticed, and it's the strangest thing, Pastor might disagree with me, but basically for my entire life, I have been a peacekeeper, not a confronter. My kids always would laugh about it. They would say, oh gosh, Mom, geez, you're such a wimp. And I'd say, I'm not a wimp. This is just who I am. If you'd known my parents, you would know that this is who I am. This was my mother, this was my father, this is me. But when I got up there around late 50s, 60, the strangest thing happened. Suddenly, this other person rose up out of me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And this other person said, you know what? I'm 60 stinking years old, and I'm tired of doing what everybody wants me to do, and I'm tired of saying yes and being nice all the time, and from now on, I'm going to say whatever I think. Oh, stop it. I know. I can't be. Trust me, I can't be 60. Right, guys?
Right.
But first happened, I thought, well, you know, this is a good thing. This is a really good thing because I am finally being myself and saying what I think, you know, and there were always, I always knew people who did that. Some maybe more than others and some maybe too much, but I always saw people who did that and I thought, wow, I can't do that, you know? And I said, this is a good thing. Until it got a little out of control. Yeah. You know what I mean? Until I realized, you know what? I'm walking around and I'm mad at everybody. I'm mad. I turn on the TV. I'm mad. Okay? I'm mad because I can't even watch half of the actors that I used to watch because now I can't stand them. And I've ruled out shows and movies and actors and actresses and musicians and, you know, I'm like, and I thought, you know what? Maybe I need to dial it back a little. That doesn't mean I'm going to watch those people, or, you know, it just means that I can't walk around being angry at what I see. I have to start walking in love, no matter, this is a hard one, no matter what I see, you know? And in the past, honestly, I mean, as far as political things are concerned, there have been those that I have not particularly cared for, Mel. And I didn't walk around being angry. I didn't walk around saying things. I just, when I would hear the voice, I would go out of the room. Seriously, you know, I would walk out of the room and not open my mouth one little bit. So, today's message is a continuation of not every four-letter word is bad. No, no, it is a continuation of, and the greatest of these is love. So we are going to start in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Beginning with verse 35. We're going to go 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I did not bring five Bibles with me. So, if someone in here can access the Amplified Classic quickly, Dean, could you please read what I just read from 35 to 39?
Verse 35, who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation or calamity and distress or persecution or hunger or destruction or peril or sword, even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amidst all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded beyond doubt, am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God Christ Jesus our Lord.
You know, there's two things in that series of verses that I want to bring out. One of them is this. You know, I've read this verse in the King James Version forever, where it counted as sheep for the slaughter. And that might not necessarily mean a lot. It's kind of one of those things like, okay, you know, and you keep reading. If you read it in the Amplified Classic, basically they're saying, we got a target on our backs, people. We have a target on our backs. First of all, because you're a Christian. And despite what you might see out there in the world, despite what you might hear people are saying about us, they think of us as open game. But the important thing to remember is we're not. We aren't. Even though the world might look at us and say, you know, have at it. You know, they think of us as one of two things. They either think of us as being mean and nasty and judgmental, right? Or we're pushovers. We're one or the other. Well, the fact is, we're neither. We're neither of those things. And here's the important part. God knows how the world sees us. He knows. You're not out here on your own, you know, floating around on a raft without any help. He knows. He's there. And you are more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. So don't worry about it. If they think you're a pushover, so be it. If they think you're mean and judgmental because you have certain beliefs and ethics that you stand by, so be it. It shouldn't bother you because you're more than a conqueror. The second thing I want to get out of those series of verses is this. Basically, God is never going to fall out of love with you. Now, I know this is not a new thing. I'm not bringing up a new concept here, that God's never going to fall out of love with you. You've heard this and heard this and heard this and heard this. But God's love is eternal. And it doesn't really matter how far you wander. He still loves you. He still loves you, okay? He may not condone what you're doing. And don't get me wrong, if you don't get it right, you're going to have serious problems. But it doesn't mean he doesn't love you. And you hear this, you hear this, you hear this from the time you start attending church. And yet, people struggle with that. And you know why? Because out here in the world, we see so little of that. People don't always do that to other people. They don't love you no matter what. They may say, I'm with you, I'm behind you, I support you. But when the going gets rough, they disappear. So, you know, as Christians, we hear this all the time. God will always love you. He'll always love you. He'll always love you. He'll never let you down. But we live in the world. We're not of the world, but we live in the world. And so we see the opposite so much that we have to keep reminding ourselves of what the Bible says. Okay, let's turn to Matthew. And we're going to be in verse 26. Oh, I'm sorry, chapter 26 is what I meant to say. Verse 52. Okay. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish by the sword. And again, when you read this, and I've read it many times, we take it very literally. You know, if you're going to take up a sword, there's a good chance you're going to buy a perish by sword, you know, a weapon of some sort. But it really means so much more than that. What it really means is this. There's a spiritual law. And you know the thing about spiritual laws is they cannot be violated. They are eternal, okay? There's a spiritual law that says that what you do unto others, they are going to do unto you. It's the law of reaping and sowing. You know, even the world knows that. They may not realize it's biblical. They may not even realize it's in the Bible. But you hear people say, well, you know, what goes around comes around. Right? Turnabout's fair play. And they don't even realize. It's a spiritual law. And it can't be violated. You know, from the time we're little, at least when I was little back in the old days, you know, back when we said the Our Father and all that stuff at the beginning of the school day. Before electricity, yeah. After we'd lit the oil lamps and pulled out our slates on the wall. I can remember this. I can see it like it was yesterday. On the wall of, I don't know if it was my first grade, second grade, third grade class, was the Golden Rule. You know, they taught us that from the time we were small. And unfortunately, it's one of those things that sometimes, as adults, we forget. And our culture has changed it. They've changed it from do unto others as you'd have them do unto you to do unto others before they do unto you. They really have. And that's exactly why the world's in such a mess. You know that thing that says, everything I need to know I learned in kindergarten? A lot of those things are absolutely true. Imagine what the world would be like if everybody just went around doing unto others as they would have them do unto them. Just try to imagine for a minute. It would be exactly what God wanted it to be. Things have changed. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. You're already there. Back up. Chapter 7, verse 12. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. That's the law of sowing and reaping. And you know, the thing is, the law of sowing and reaping can work for you or against you. It depends on what you're sowing. I guarantee you that you will reap what you sow. The Bible says that. But what do you want to sow? You may be sowing some things that you don't want to reap, but you will if you don't change it. You will. And I'm telling you that not based on my authority. I'm telling you that based on what Jesus said. Those words are in red in my Bible, okay? So don't take this as me admonishing you. This is Jesus telling you, listen. You may be about to reap some stuff you're not going to like. So it's time to do a checkup. Sit down and have a talk with yourself and ask yourself, what have I been sowing? Okay, let's go to Ephesians. And we are in chapter 4. Starting with verse 25. Okay, I'm going to read 25 to 27. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Never give place to the devil. And now I want to jump down. We'll skip 28, not because it's not important, but I want to jump down to 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, when you speak, the things you say can minister grace to the people that you are speaking to. And it does. I don't mean you have to minister to them. I don't mean you have to sit them down and, you know, preach to them. I mean the things you say, the way you act, the way you say them can minister grace to that person. They can walk away from you feeling just a little happier, just a little bit uplifted, just a little bit more positive about life and humanity. Okay? Now, you understand, you can license the angels to work on your behalf. God said that he has given them to us as ministering spirits. Okay? You can license them to work on your behalf. But you know how you do that? By speaking the word. By speaking the word. Do you need the angels to minister on your behalf in a certain situation? Speak the word, okay? I can't even imagine the number of angels that are standing around every day just going like this. Just waiting. You think they're going to say anything positive today? Or you think everything they say is going to be negative? What do you think? I don't know. It's been a long time since I've heard them say anything positive. But let me tell you something else. There are other spiritual, in the sense, beings who are also listening to you. They were angels. They fell from heaven. Okay? They're called demons. And they're listening too. And you have to ask yourself, when you're talking and existing and doing whatever on a daily basis, are they busy? Whoa, look what he just said. Yes! Look what they just did. Oh, guys. Doors open. Someone else is always listening. Ready to use your own words against you. And you may have always thought that that meant another person was ready to use their own words against you. And sometimes that's the case. You know, sometimes that's the case. We've seen a lot of that lately. But trust me, the angels and the demons trump that. That was funny. I didn't mean to say that, but it came out that way. I like it a lot. What they can say and what they can do to you and what they can use your own words to do is worse than anything anybody can do to you. Let's go to Ephesians. We're still there. We're already in 4. I want you to jump down to 30. I read down through 29. 30 to 32. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You know, I can condense that all into two steps. Very vital lesson. When the opportunity for strife raises its ugly head. You ready? Steps one and two. Step one, shut up. Step two, walk away. Nothing complicated about that. Two very, very simple steps. Just very hard for us to do. Because we're people and we're human. Shut up and walk away. Yeah. My dad always said, my dad's favorite phrase, the less said, the best mended. I've probably heard that a million times in my life growing up. Roberta, the less said, the best mended. And he's right. He was so right. You realize how much and how many problems could be avoided if you just didn't say anything?
Oh, boy.
Do you realize that? If when someone said something, if you just didn't say anything, wow. Could probably cut the problems in your life in half. Okay, we're going to move on to something. Now, you can do these things, and that's wonderful, and that's great, and I want you to do them. You know, shut up, walk away, all that stuff. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. But for us to live in harmony and the power of love, you got to let it go. You have to live in the power of forgiveness. Now, we're not God. So it's harder for us than it is for God. You know, God forgives us, but he's God. We struggle with this whole human thing. To forgive others the way God forgives us requires an act of faith. But it's a necessary act of faith. It's absolutely necessary. Let's look at Mark 11. Let it go, let it go. Start with verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Okay, but let's keep going. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, if that is not underlined in your Bible, underline it now. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. You know what? That's the King James Version, but I don't think you can do it much clearer than that. It's pretty black and white to me. You have prayers, you have requests. It says there's things you desire that you want to pray for. But, here's the big but, folks. When you stand praying or kneel praying or whatever, praying, forgive. Forgive. I can promise you one thing. You guys all know the parable of the servant that, you know, the one servant owed him like nothing practically, and he owed, you know, and it didn't work out well. He ends up in prison with the tormentors, right? Because the fact that he wouldn't forgive his fellow servant for some piddly little thing compared to what he wanted to be forgiven for. Think about it. It's kind of like us. Okay? You want God to forgive you for...
Oh, yeah.
But you're going to hold a grudge for... Unforgiveness costs you more than what you think you're owed. But they owe it to me. You know, we act like children sometimes. We really do. It's a shame. I was babysitting Nico and his little cousin Easton. Oh, yeah, that was a ball. You know, energy times 15. And Easton's a year younger than Nico, so Nico's going to be 4 this coming weekend, and Easton's going to be 3 in September. So I had these two little, you know what I mean? And they're doing what kids do, especially when you've got them at that age, and they're both boys, right? They're playing and playing and playing, and then the next minute they're fighting over toys, and they're fighting over this, and they're fighting over that, and I'm breaking it up, you know, and... The one thing, I don't even remember exactly what happened, but they were in the sandbox together, and Easton comes running to me, and he says, Mimi, Nico threw sand at me. And Nico comes over, and I said, Nico, obviously I could see it all over Easton. Did you throw sand at Easton? And Nico goes, but he threw it at me first. I said, well, I don't care if he threw it at you first. I said, Nico, you apologize to Easton. And Nico says, but he hit me and then he threw sand on me. I said, all right, you apologize to each other. And Nico went, this is exactly what he did. Okay, but he does it first. That's my boy, but, you know, and it was actually funny. I mean, I couldn't laugh, but I was like going, ah! But my point is this, we may not, you know, our lips may not be quivering, but how many times do adults think, I am not making peace with them until they apologize to me? I'm talking to a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old. And how many adults act that way? I'm going to close for today with one statement. Do you know what holding unforgiveness and a grudge is like? Can I say something to you? Because I said it's going to cost you more. Trust me. It's like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. Exactly, right? Okay. We're going to close there for now, but we'll hear more about love again. And of course, we all know we're all going to walk in love between now and the next time I do this message, right?